T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
They got really good looking offensive linemen. I mean, they got 4 returning starters. Defensive linemen are really big kids. So it's excited.
That's Kirby Smart bringing us back from break. Sports Radio 92.9. The Game Midday Show with Rick and John. Randy Mack is in. Having a good time. Mark, I can't believe you're playing this fight song. I know Georgia's playing them, but
hold on.
Notre Dame.
I know that. That's why I said, hold on, Mark. Mm-hmm. Why are you playing their theme song?
Well, because I'm about to have a guest talking Notre Dame. A little Southern hospitality. Don't get comfortable with it. A false sense of security. Make you feel happy and warm in
okay.
your safe
yeah,
space.
Yeah. You know what shirt I'm wearing today?
You do got a little Irish color going on.
You know, you see what I'm wearing today?
Go Dogs, my guy.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, it's Catholics, convicts coming up in November. But we head out now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hopefully Tim O'Malley's not too mad at us now. He's from Irish Illustrators. He's our guest on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tim, how you doing?
Pretty good. I'm wearing my Steve Spurrier shirt up here, so I don't mind what you guys do.
that makes it even better because you have a guy in Randy McMichael to my right who played at the University of Georgia, who probably doesn't like Steve Spurrier too much, and myself who grew up in Miami, who's a Canes fan who probably doesn't like Steve Spurrier too much either, but he is a funny dude, and we'll talk some Notre Dame and Georgia right now. First impression, Tim, Brandon Wimbush, we've heard a lot about him, a lot of hype, a lot of expectations. How did he look to you in week number one?
Yeah, actually, I thought he might look a little better just in the general passing game, but he's a great athlete. They're going to rely on him a lot. He took a lot of hits against Temple. You wouldn't think that had been necessary, but it shows how much they do rely on his arm and leg. He's got a really good arm. I think he's going to develop into a great passing quarterback, but you can see that, you know, that was his first start, and he's not there yet in terms of a pocket passer, but he can cause some damage when he gets outside the pocket with his arm and leg.
Hey, Tim, talk about this run game, this two-headed monster. You got Josh Adams, I mean, a big, good-looking running back, 6'2", 225, had a big day. But also Dexter Williams was able to run the football also. Talk about those two guys and how they are helping Wimbush out also.
Yeah, they absolutely need it. It's when Notre Dame is good under Brian Kelly, they run the ball. When they played for the national championship and got killed by Alabama, they had 2 good running backs, Theo Wood and Theo Riddick, who is the Detroit Lions now. In 2015, they had a great offensive line. Ronnie Stanley went high in the draft. And that's what they have now in Mike McGlinchey and Quentin Nelson on the left side, or first-round picks. Josh Adams is a junior that, you know, quietly he is going to come close to Notre Dame rushing records because he put up about 800 yards as a freshman. And Dexter Williams is a very good compliment to him. He's a faster back. He's from Florida. And he's a guy that always people have been waiting to put it together because he's so explosive. And now I think in his third year, he's just a great compliment to Adams for the running game.
What do you look like offensively? Kaiser could move around a little bit a year ago. Malik Zaire, before he left, could as well. Are they going to lean on Brandon Wimbush when it comes to running the football, or are you going to see more true drop-back passing out of him in the coming weeks?
I think you're going to see their point is to be physical. New offensive coordinator Chip Long came in, and he is calling the plays, not Brian Kelly. And the first time we interviewed Chip Long, I don't think he mentioned the word pass until he threw play action pass in there about 5 minutes into the conversation. So it is a run first offense, but it is a read option. That's Wimbush's kind of ability to tuck it and run is there. And what they didn't show against Temple, and we saw all of August, and what Chip Long kind of leans on is that run pass option, which I think you'll see a lot against Georgia. But if Georgia keeps Brandon Wimbush in the pocket, I think that's a good thing for the Bulldogs defense. I think Wimbush has to beat you with his athleticism. He's not quite there yet as a drop-back passer. I know we're talking to some NFL scouts. DeShone Kizer at Notre Dame, for better or for worse, had full-field NFL reads under Brian Kelly, and that will not be the case with Wimbush at this stage.
Talk about this defensive side of the ball. I mean, we know, like John was saying earlier, they're big up front. But the pass rush, for the last couple of years, just hasn't been there for Notre Dame. New coordinator, new defensive coordinator, Mike Elko. How has he changed around this defense? And are they going to be able to get after Georgia as far as rushing the passer?
It's interesting because the weaknesses for Notre Dame's defense, at least the perceived weakness, is the interior defensive line and the safeties. And that doesn't sound good because you want to be strong up the middle, obviously. But they do have good young ends in Dalen Hayes, who's a Ann Arbor product. Julian Aquara, his brother, was drafted, Romeo Aquara, for the Giants. And Andrew Trombetti, who's a senior. They have three really good ends. And you got to wonder a little bit. It's basically the nose tackle, Jerry Tillery, is a three-year starter, but he hasn't done much. He's a pro prospect in terms of his body, but he's got to put it together. Mm-hmm. But everybody else on the inside, backup starters, basically played their first college game against Temple. So we are going to find out about the interior of the line. The ends, I will say, is an underrated quartet, and they can rotate well. So I don't know how much you can make up for maybe questionable inside with really good defensive ends, but I guess we're going to find out Saturday.
A year ago, Notre Dame, 52nd overall defensively. They were 44th against the run at about 85 yards a game. How do you feel they stack up against Georgia's two-headed monster and Nick Chubb and Sony Michel?
Yeah, we just did a podcast, and we all pretty much believe at Irish Illustrated that Georgia's going for more than 180 yards rushing. One of us felt that it's going to be a very good rushing day for Georgia. I kind of think that Chubb or Michel is going to hit one, so that it's not necessarily a cosmetic number, because if you hit one for 60 yards and a touchdown, it counts. But I don't think it's going to be, you know, chewing them up at 60 yards a clip. I do think Notre Dame will rise to the occasion defensively, but they don't have a great defense. There's no two ways around it. No matter what first-year coordinator Mike Elko does, it's not going to be a great defense, but they have some playmakers. So I think it's important for Georgia, when they do drive, they're going to get their yards, that they score touchdowns in the red zone, because if Notre Dame can win that red zone battle and hold them to field goals, you know, it's not as if Georgia is going to destroy them the passing game in this situation.
Tim, I know that this matchup, we haven't played each other since the Sugar Bowl and all this thing, and the national championship game now, but the atmosphere this week of Georgia coming up there, what do you expect? Because they do play, it is Notre Dame, and they do play USC and Stanford and those type of teams there, but do you think the atmosphere will be a lot different now that Georgia's coming up there?
Yeah, this is going to be one of the better game atmospheres. Notre Dame has basically a new stadium. They renovated the stadium. This is the second game ever where there's a jumbotron in the stadium. There's going to be 50 to 20,000 Georgia fans in this stadium, because there was a lot of dissatisfaction with Brian Kelly's program coming into the season. Some of those tickets were sold by Notre Dame fans, and I have seen it one time before in the stadium when number one Nebraska came in 2000. It was the same situation. They were dissatisfied with Bob Davie. Nebraska came in, they had about 30,000 fans inside a smaller stadium, but it makes for a great atmosphere, because nothing gets a home crowd madder than having 20,000 interlopers among you. So, I mean, under the lights, it is going to be a great atmosphere. USC and Michigan always bring out the best in Notre Dame fans, but an SEC opponent like Georgia, this one-off situation, obviously Notre Dame goes down to Athens, too, in a couple years, but this is going to be a great atmosphere for college football. I love it that it's not a neutral site game like you see so often mm-hmm. throughout the season around the country.
We've got Tim O'Malley with us, Irish Illustrated. You can follow him on Twitter, at Tim O'Malley ND, on the WadeFord.com hotline. You mentioned Brian Kelly. We've talked down here in this parts of town. Kevin Sumlin, Brian Kelly, Jim Mora, guys that could be on a very thin ice and very hot seat. What does Brian Kelly have to do, in your estimation, to be the head coach of Notre Dame a year from now?
You know, honestly, just talking to the athletic director, Jack Swarbrick, we interviewed him in the summer, he is pretty safe because of all the changes they made. Now, in the offseason, they changed offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, the entire strength and conditioning program. They brought in a new special teams coordinator. They never had one before. It's former Nevada head coach Brian Polian. Basically, there's three holdovers on the staff. One of them is Harry Hiestand, of course, who's a very good offensive line coach. They made the changes to go what Swarbrick said is a long game on Brian Kelly. In other words, they knew they had problems. They think they addressed them. So, barring another collapse, obviously, I say he'll be there next year. If they're 5-7, 6-6, that's not going to happen. But any pretty good season out of Notre Dame, they're playing the 2-3 year game on Kelly, because they invested so much around him. You almost can't afford to lose all these new coordinators that you were really high on and all the new assistants just for a 1 year deal to see if he can win 9 games or whatever, like a lot of fans kind of expect.
Tim, one of the guys we haven't talked about in this interview is Equanimeous St. Brown, one of the best wide receivers in the country. What challenges does he present to a defensive back?
Yeah, I will say his size-speed ratio isn't it. He's a really polished route runner. I don't think I gave enough credit for that going into last year. He kind of exploded on the scene last season for what ended up being a bad team. But right now, the Notre Dame passing game is Equanimeous St. Brown and everyone else. It's interesting they brought in two grad transfers, one from Michigan, Freddie Canteen, who never played at Michigan, and one Cam Smith, who from Arizona State, who was very good as a sophomore. He actually scored a touchdown against Notre Dame, but he was hurt and he kind of finished his career there, kind of fizzled. They started in the opener. Part of that is Brian Kelly kind of revamping the culture. He wants veteran players who do everything right. You know, he's not, he always says he's not only rewarding talent like he did last year. That got him in a lot of trouble, but they don't have reliable receivers. And with Brandon Wimbush as a second game starting quarterback, it's St. Brown and then a very good group of tight ends. So Equanimeous St. Brown should see a lot of attention from Georgia's defensive backs. There should be a safety over the top for him because he's the guy that's going to hurt you right now. There's just not enough trust between Wimbush and his other receivers. I will say Notre Dame has quite a few weapons at tight end that can – Alize Mack is a five-star. He's a third-string tight end. They have two seniors they really like in Durham Smythe and Nick Wishers. But it could be a pedestrian passing game if St. Brown can be corralled.
Real quick, Tim, about 15 seconds. What do you think plays out? How do you predict this game this Saturday?
You know, it's funny. It's one of those games where the point spread when it came out at 6.5 is crazy because they can play this game and someone's winning by 7 and it has nothing to do with being the better team. It's going to come down to the final 2 minutes. Notre Dame has not had a big win for Brian Kelly in where they are kind of a pure team like Georgia. Maybe going back to 2014 when they upset LSU. I have Notre Dame winning by a point. The game score in the mid-20s, that 28-27 range. Nothing surprises me if Georgia wins this game by 7, Notre Dame wins by 7. But I'll tell you this, no one is running away with this one. It's going to be a very good college football game. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.